Welcome to Nocturnal Admissions, the Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast. I'm Deanna Rilling, and on the phone I have Pete Tong. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the summer in Ibiza.
Great. Yeah, you're over at Ibiza right now, and you're doing your Wonderland party for the third year?
Friday night for season, so it's going really well. Looking forward to Friday with Fatboy Slim joining us this Friday.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. That's great. Now, for you, how's this year going for you? And can you kind of describe it for the people who've never been there, like myself? Because I'm guessing that, you know, we always talk about Ibiza here in Vegas, but I think it's probably fair to say the majority of us haven't even been able to go. So what kind of an experience is it?
Still a very unique one. I mean, I'm, you know, lucky enough to travel all over the world, and I still think Ibiza holds a kind of magical appeal. You know, a relatively small island in the Mediterranean that happened to kind of develop this I think it's such a beautiful kind of tranquil place, but in the same token, it was very attractive to kind of a kind of party crowd back in the 70s who decided to start, you know, building some pretty outrageous nightclubs that then captured the imagination of visitors from around the world, and they kind of put the foundations down for what's here today, which is, you know, five or six clubs that happen to be, you know, probably five or six of the best clubs in the world, all within, you know, a couple of miles of each other. All booking, you know, the kind of top talent from all over the world. So it's a kind of microcosm of the club scene, really, in one place. I mean, people, some kind of visitors from America compare it to Miami during conference.
Okay.
But of course, it runs here from the end of May to the beginning of October. So if you if you can think of the Winter Music Conference running for pretty much 3 to 4 months on a cycle, that gives you the kind of some idea of the scale of it.
Oh, wow.
Not only of all these clubs running 7 nights a week, but then you've got various kind of daytime events and beach parties and stuff like that. So it's pretty intense. And from a DJ perspective, it's a bit like you know, playing in the Super Bowl final or you know, the World Cup football every single week.
Yeah, I know. I'm exhausted after a week in Miami, so I can only imagine what it's like. How do you kind of get through the whole summer?
You kind of pace yourself. I think. I mean, what you got to remember from a DJ standpoint is, if you're a resident here, then you'll only be playing for one night a week.
Okay.
So the tiring part comes more from, you know, going out and kind of visiting everyone else and partying with everyone else. So yeah, anyone that comes here and lives here for the summer and never done it before and kind of is very enthusiastic about clubbing usually hits a wall after a couple of weeks. But from a DJ perspective, if you're a resident, then, you know, you're here once a week, and often you're traveling all over the world doing other parties. I mean, someone like David Guetta, in the year he's having, you know, he's probably, even though he's got a residency here and is doing really, really well, his relative time in Ibiza is probably quite small.
Mm-hmm.
He's just coming in on Thursday afternoon probably and leaving first thing Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been doing it here a long time. I tend to try and enjoy the island in a different way and kind of base myself at least July and August here, and if I go off and do other shows, I kind of call Ibiza home and come and spend the days off in Ibiza rather than going back to London or somewhere.
Okay. Now, our big party weekend, one of them here in Vegas, is coming up. It's our Labor Day weekend, and you're going to be at Encore Beach Club on September 5th. So I think the last time you were here in Vegas was when I spoke to you before you were playing at Body English. I believe it was November, I think. Which,
yeah, I mean, I've,
kind
I've,
of a different
I mean,
thing.
You know, I love coming to Vegas. I've been, I mean, although I'm not, you know, the most regular visitor, I've been coming for quite a long time now. And I mean, it's just my commitments in England and Europe that stop me coming more. But I think that I've had so many people tell me that, you know, come to Vegas, but come at the best time. So I'm actually taking, for the first time ever, I'm taking a week off of my party here in Ibiza to come and do Labor Day weekend. So, I'm doing New York and Miami, and then coming for that special Sunday event with Cascade. So I'm really looking forward to it. And a lot of you know, I don't Vegas isn't anything like Ibiza in the sense that, well, it's a desert for a start, not an island.
Right.
But I think in terms of the amount of activity in a small city, well, not a small city, but you know, the amount of activity you've got going on in one city now. I know from some people are comparing it to the buying power of Vegas is starting to register on the same kind of scale as Ibiza. Mm-hmm. When all the clubs start booking all the DJs and all the acts, it's getting, the activity there's pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned, of course, we are in a desert. So have you ever played one of our daytime pool parties out here?
No, I haven't. So every time I come, it doesn't matter. All the clubs I've worked with for over the years have always said, this is great, but please come back and see our one of the daytime parties, because that's where it really takes on a whole nother level, and that's why I'm coming. Mm-hmm. So it better be good.
Yeah. Do you have any plans to handle the heat out here yet?
No, I think we're kind of used to the heat.
Yeah.
We're living in Ibiza. I know it's a different type of heat, but
it's like a blow dryer.
It's going to be around the pool, so I'll just jump in if it gets too hot.
There you go. That works. So yeah, you are playing for Cascade Sundays, and last time I spoke with you, you mentioned that I quote that your music's girly friendly. So how would you describe that a little bit more, or elaborate a little bit more? And I think that's probably going to be good with Cascade, but
I don't like genre-fying or right. pigeonholing music particularly. I just think I've got a good sense of daytime, playing in the daytime is probably my favorite thing. It's actually something that is harder to do now in Ibiza than it used to be, which is very sad because of all the restrictions the authorities are putting on beach parties and daytime parties. But I think if I was born for anything, it was probably to play in the daytime. I think I've got it just kind of works with all where the roots of where I come from, really. And I think kind of there's so much great kind of underground house music coming out in Europe at the moment. It's so suitable for that vibe. It's kind of house music made by people that grew up on techno. It's probably the best way of putting it.
Okay.
So vocals are creeping back in, but we're not, but they're not like the diva house records of the 80s and 90s. It's, they've got a much more kind of, darker attitude, but they're still a lot of fun and very, very, very kind of girly friendly and just happy and suitable for pool vibe,
So why do you think the ladies like the lyrics in the songs?
I think everyone likes lyrics in songs, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's just quite cool, in certain genres not to own up to it. It's kind of easier to be underground and kind of, trendy if you're not playing vocals. But actually, I've been to some really underground parties in Ibiza with some very, very cool, DJs this summer, and you get a couple of hours of amazing beats and everything like that, and the minute some sort of vocal sample comes on, even with that crowd, the place just goes crazy.
Yeah.
So I think it's a case of right place, right time.
Mm-hmm.
I think three hours of hits, song after song after song gets a bit boring.
Mm-hmm.
But at the right time, the right place, it's still the killer thing.
So speaking of
easier to remember a tune.
There you go. There you go. And kind of everybody feels kind of like a part of it if they're all singing along. So
there's a new style of kind of house at the moment. It's funny. It's like the complete antidote to what David Guetta's doing.
Uh-huh.
Except it's kind of the same thing. And it's like, he went and made a record with Will I Am, and it was like the kind of the new style of Guetta anthem, which is obviously going on to become phenomenally successful. But from the complete opposite side of the spectrum, I'm hearing music that's kind of starting to be influenced by hip hop, but it's just completely different. It'd be very exciting to drop a few of these tunes in the party with Cascade and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. The Kings of Leon thing that you did last summer was huge, and it's actually still going pretty strong. So what do you think is maybe the big thing for this summer that you've noticed?
I wouldn't say there's aside from the obvious things like the Swedes record,
right?
I wouldn't say that there's not really been a unifying. I mean, a unifying record this year. I mean, there's this record by Butch called Worries,
Okay.
Which is like epitomizes the kind of things I've been talking about, coming from kind of the underground side of House, which is like cutting up an old Strictly Rhythm record with a little bit of vocal,
mm-hmm.
which people are going crazy for. So I don't think there's not really there's not really one unifying kind of record like that, or bootleg. You know, Kings of Leon, effectively, they would never let us put that out. So it was kind of a DJ mm-hmm. special based on one of the songs of the year. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there's really been anything quite like that. I saw Afrojack, who's been playing a Jason Derulo record, which, you know, it's kind of obvious, but it kind of works really, really well at the end of his set, and people go crazy. But I wouldn't say there's really been. It's more a kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But you start DJing in a certain style, and people go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
More than one particular song.
Mm-hmm. You yourself have a new track that just came out this month with Dave Spoon, Muchness. So tell me a little bit more about that one.
Someone I've worked with, you know, for quite a while on and off. Like my schedule is scheduled. You know, we never get to spend enough time together, which is annoying because every time we do, something quite magical happens. We started off by doing quite a few remixes together. And we did Robin, which was huge, and we did James Blunt a couple of years ago when I was still at Pasha, mm-hmm. with a song that was written about Pasha. Then we did Madonna, and we got asked to do a lot of stuff. Then we did a movie thing together, which went well. It's Gas Face track, and then we always looked going, we've actually got to do an artist record one day. And I had this kind of loop idea that I knew would be much better for him than some of the other people I worked with, and finally we got a day together to do it, and then we couldn't finish it for a while. But mm-hmm. but I did it very much. And it was the first time I'd done this. I kind of knew who I wanted to make it with. And I knew who I wanted to put it out. And that was Steve Angello.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking back at some emails, actually. And I think we started talking about it in February this year. And finally it came out in, last week. So we got there in the end. It's kind of a nod towards the kind of music that Steve's been playing and some of the stuff that comes out was Size, but a little bit more underground. And then I got this guy, Kink, who's this brilliant Romanian DJ producer I really, really love, that put an EP out on Josh Wink's Ovum label.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the world knows it yet, but I think he delivered one of the remixes of the year. I mean, his mix is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it kind of sums up this new spirit of, it's kind of a new sound of house music that's, you know, it does draw heavily on the kind of records that Strictly put out in the end of the 80s, early 90s, but it's got a kind of 2010 kind of techno take on it. So I'm very excited about that.
Cool.
And it's kind of got a breakbeat in it, and it's really different. And every time I play it, just people just go crazy about it. So I think it's one of those records that probably be getting discovered, you know, as kind of more towards kind of Halloween and stuff like that. It'll take a while to see through.
It's good,
and we want to do more. You know, I don't do enough, never did make enough music. I was always so busy with the radio and running labels and stuff like that, but it's something I really enjoy, and I want to do more of it.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the movie soundtrack. That was for Harry Brown, correct?
Yeah.
And then you are...
No, the one I did with Dave Spoon was a Hammer film called Beyond the Rave, which was a kind of little side project, but with Paul Rogers, my other guy I work with in the studio, we did half the score on Harry Brown.
Okay. So is the pressure kind of on you? I mean, after all these years, I know you mentioned that you were one of the few that's lucky to focus on DJing without making your own music, but is the pressure on now for the artist album?
I think it's the way of the world, you know. It's like it's expected now, and I think that there was a number of DJs that broke through in the early days that did it via other means, of either running great clubs, just DJing amazingly, or running amazing residencies, or being on the radio or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There was other ways to make your reputation. But really, for the last 10 years, the best way of making your reputation has been making music. And then you've seen in the last 12 months to 2 years. Now so we're in a place where make the right record with the right background, and suddenly someone like David Guetta's story can go, you know, through the roof. I mean, he's not, it's funny because he's not a new DJ to me.
Right.
He's been around, you know, he's been DJing for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally worked from literally the cloakroom to the DJ booth to promoting underground parties in France to being a huge kind of VIP star in France and then reinventing himself as a kind of real DJ on the circuit and then starting to make music. And it's not been an overnight success, but maybe to some people in America now it looks like that, but he's worked really, really hard. And you can see with someone who has some real roots out there in the community, some real foundations, you add a hit record on top of that and the thing just got, you know, his career's just gone through, this exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if that had happened to someone who was just like, you know, just started, it probably, I don't think they'd be as big as David Guetta. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the effect of making the right record at the right time, what it can do for you is, it's pretty sensational.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, you know, equally you can make amazing underground music like Flying Lotus and do well too. So I just think making music's just so much fun anyway.
Yeah.
Irrespective of anyone likes it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a hobby of mine. It's quite fun. It's quite therapeutic, but it obviously doesn't do you any harm if you make a good one.
Yeah.
Whether it be a huge kind of commercial hit or a big underground record, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just harder and harder to differentiate yourself from what everybody, you know. Now certain DJs have become so big based on the records they've made, it makes it quite hard for other DJs who are equally big to go and play those. It's quite weird for me to go on stage, say at Ultra Music Festival,
okay,
you know, 2 hours before the Swedes are going to play and play the Swedes record. You didn't really have that thought process 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, it's kind of a bit odd,
yeah.
Because the records are so big that it's almost like, you know, like rock and roll. You know, Rolling Stones don't go and play, you know, U2's hits just before they go on stage, do they? So and we probably for the first time in the electronic era, you've actually got that phenomenon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was funny with Tiesto's time, you know, not that he's not past it by any means, but,
right,
you know, at the time of, you know, if you go roll back 5 years ago with Tiesto, didn't really have that problem. Because it's not that, because Tiesto didn't have big records, but he didn't have hit records like David Guetta's having. So, yeah, so it's just a different time.
Mm-hmm. How does that affect your sets then? Do you have to dig like even deeper now for tracks that people haven't heard, or are you kind of just depending on where you're at?
It depends what type of place you're playing, really. I mean, my preferred situation, you know, in an ideal club, in an ideal situation with the ideal crowd and the ideal everything, I think DJing's about creating a feeling. You know, and it's taking people on a journey, but you do need, you know, that requires a certain type of setup. If you've got an hour and you're on a main stage in a festival, or, I mean, it might be the case with a pool party, I don't know, but it, you know, if you've got a short amount of time and you're, you know, you've got to deliver a different sort of thing, and it, you know, you do change what you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've confused you with my answer there.
No, no, not at all.
You
not
know,
at
it depends,
all.
Depends what you're doing, basically, and where you're doing it, and who. And yeah, you start to look around who's on the bill, you know, this, that, and the other, in terms of, and you do think twice about, you know, well, I could play those records, but if that guy's going to follow me, then it'd be kind of stupid to be playing all his tunes, you know.
Right.
And yet, if he wasn't, if the act isn't following you, then he'd be very happy for you to be playing all his tunes. So you look around at everything.
Mm-hmm. For you, I mean, you break records all the time with your radio show, and I know that it's been in its new time slot for a while now. So how has that been going?
Really well. I think the show is probably more consistent. Is that the best way of putting it? Across, like, the two-hour time slot, I don't have to... It kind of starts and it finishes, and it's kind of pretty... The message is, here's the best music I can find this week and put it together in an entertaining way from this genre. Whereas in the earlier time slot, there was another agenda in the UK, which was, I'm taking daytime listeners into the night. Mm-hmm. And I'm easing them through from kind of 7 o'clock in the evening through to 9 o'clock in the evening. Whereas now in the UK, when I start at 9 o'clock in the evening, it's already the night time. You don't really have that responsibility. So, I mean, sometimes when I would travel around America, people might say to me sometimes, you know, why do you still play Jay-Z in your show? Or, you know, whereas I don't get those questions anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a more, you know, and I think the other thing that it's kind of coincided with, you know, another major shift in the way a lot of the audience enjoy their programming, their media, whatever you want to call it, which is people listen to these things when they want to listen to them.
Right.
That's particularly the case internationally. They stream them or they download them when they want to download them. So they're not time sensitive. And I think the show has worked better on that level. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's good.
So
I've said many times, you know, you do mm-hmm. something. I was doing the same slot for a very, very long time. And it was so popular and successful and everything like that. But, you know, some one day something had to change, you know, just to give me a new challenge apart from anything else. Mm-hmm. So
who would you, like, absolutely love to recommend right now that people probably aren't checking out?
Well, I think two sides. I think from a kind of fresh perspective of and kind of representing the UK, I think, you know, the kind of the flavor of the kind of what dubstep's move to in the UK is seems to starting to be turning heads in the rest of the world. So people like Roscoe, you know, Benga and Scream and Magnetic Man when Benga and Scream come together. So all the people from this area are really worth checking out, and they're very entertaining to play, to watch live. And I think it's, you know, it's very young and kind of it's a happening space to be in. So I think I would talk about that lot as a kind of group. I think from my experiences in Ibiza this summer, you know, and just looking around at what I'm really enjoying, you know, Luciano's goes from strength to strength. Mm-hmm. I think that, and a lot of these, you know, there's a DJ that's been around for a while, actually, who I think's a real unsung talent, which is Marco Carolla.
Okay.
And he kind of come through the Minus camp through Richie Horton. Mm. But I think he is probably the DJ. It's very powerful when you have someone that's actually been around for a long time, but he's still relatively undiscovered, and I think he's a major force in kind of underground house and techno in the next couple of years. Just seeing him play, just everything he's making at the moment, and he produces other people's records, so he's been making records behind the scenes with Lurker Dice and people like that, and he's just really on it at the moment. Italian.
Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And again, you're going to be at Encore Beach Club with Cascade on September 5th. Is there anything else that maybe we didn't cover that you want to get out there?
No, I mean, just, you know, I'm going to do another one. I'm going to, the Wonderland CD, the third one, it's the first one I've done with Defected.
Okay.
The first one that we got out around the world at the same time, and it was on iTunes and everything. It's had a fantastic reaction. It's not kind of hits orientated, but I think Defected have said it's one of the most successful things I've ever done. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do another one for the winter, which again will be a kind of showcasing new up and coming producers and DJs. So, and then I've got a tour actually. I'm coming back for Halloween as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be doing Monster Massive, and I'll be doing
nice.
There's a series of dates. It's like about 10 days. It'll involve New York and LA and blah, blah, blah.
Cool. Very cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I know a lot of people from Vegas head out to Monster Massive, so that'll be a good thing for them to know, too. So.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for your time, and stay safe in the heat out here.
Thank you.
All right. Look, have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye. For up-to-date Las Vegas nightlife and dance music scene news, always be sure to check out LasVegasWeekly.com.